Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back out to here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, also the great folks at Lakerholics.com, and of course, the entire cast at the Hoopheads Podcast Network at HoopheadsPod.com, it is sincerely appreciated. Disappointing effort, that's all I can say. The Lakers, unfortunately, did not come out with any intensity, and of course, some injuries are also getting the team down with KCP being out of the game, and of course, the nagging knee injury that is now troubling Anthony Davis, who came into the game with a sprained knee. Things happened worse for him because he once again hurt the groin that he had hurt late in the season. He hurt it going in for a layup late in the second quarter and did not return. He's right now listed questionable day-to-day for Game 5, so we'll see what happens for him. But once again, he's listed as day-to-day, questionable, with a groin strain. Good news for the Lakers, the MRI came back negative on something more substantial or more serious, so hopefully he can be able to gut it out and suit up for Game 5. And everyone else did not chip in the way they needed to, and the Lakers at home unfortunately just could not get it done, and they lose 100-92, being down substantially most of the game, and it wasn't even close in the second half after a very tightly contested first half. It actually saw the Lakers leading a great portion of it. But unfortunately, they didn't get it done. But here today to talk about the game, and everybody's lining up on the chat board already. Felix, well, what can you do? Unfortunately, we'll get him next time. But it is a good man indeed to start off the conversation today. You got to catch with his great comments today at Lakerholics.com. It is L. Rob, and L. Rob, great to have you here. But unfortunately, the Lakers, it just didn't seem like it was their day today.
Hey, Gerald. Great to be here. I think it started off okay, but yes, you're right. It went kind of downhill pretty quickly there in the second half when you score 15 points. Lakers never could get any offense. Dennis wasn't aggressive enough. AD's shot wasn't falling. Drummond didn't give us anything. That's 3/5 of your starting five. So they waited too late to really bring energy. Phoenix's entire game plan is predicated on pushing the ball and trying to get some early opportunities, take advantage of Aiden's superior athleticism over our centers. And even if he doesn't score, he creates opportunities for other guys by filling that lane real quick. And Phoenix probably scored 6 or 7 points in the game strictly on just beating us down the court. Kuzma goes to the basket, he scores, but he, you know, falls down, or he doesn't score and he falls down. AD's LeBron in the backcourt complaining. You can't do that. You got to get back on defense and make them score and earn their baskets. Phoenix just got more easier baskets than the Lakers, whether it was running the pick and roll with Payne or CP3, or whether it was getting out on the break. That's the difference in the game.
Also, KCP is still out with that leg injury as well, so we'll see what happens there. But also here today to talk about today's game is a good man indeed. You got to check out all the things he does for Lakerholics.com. It is Sean Grice, a.k.a. the Magic Man. I know Phoenix was given a big boost today, and I think that, to me, was the biggest difference of all, is that Chris Paul came back into the lineup, played a full game, and closed it out.
Absolutely, Gerald. Chris played his best game of the series. He was very talkative as well. Look, here's the deal, and I hope a lot of fans, if not all fans, kind of understand this perspective. So since we're in the playoffs, some can play hurt, some can't. If you're injured, we just have to deal with the fact that right now LeBron and AD are playing somewhere between sore and injured. And it sounds like AD injured himself, Gerald. And we're just going to have to wait and see. Hopefully some rest will resolve this issue. But this is an issue with a few players. And, you know, AD is just prone to soft tissue injuries, man. It's the nature of the way he plays the game. He's just prone to it, whether it's quad, whether it's a knee, whether it's a shoulder, whether it's his, you know, obliques at times. You know, he's just, any little thing affects his game. And we can see there's a big valley when he's gone at the four. Phoenix doesn't really have a true power forward. They have fives or they have, you know, three and a half. They don't really have a true four. So the advantage was to the Lakers to exploit that. Without AD, it's difficult because unless you're playing Montrezl Harrell, the Lakers, conversely, don't have a true four either that can kind of go up against Phoenix's, you know, longer wings. So it's going to be interesting going forward. We're going to have to see how hurt Anthony is because he is hurt.
Yeah, he really is hurt. It looks like it. And it's unfortunate, but you know what? Same thing went on Phoenix side because they'll say the same thing about Chris Paul and how hurt he was with his shoulder, but he looked a lot better today. So we're going to have to gear up for the next game, game five, before we decide exactly how the series is going to run. I think the winner of game five might take it. L. Rob and I know you and I said that game six, I think as far as that's concerned, I know we called in six games. I think, Magic Man, you did as well. I think we thought it was going to be a tough series, but I think Game 5 is going to be the determinator on exactly who wins the series, in my opinion, because that's statistically what bears out. I think over 70% of the time, Game 5 winner does win the series, so makes it very hard. But glad to have V back. Felix is back. Everybody, once again, the Lakers unfortunately fall in Los Angeles, 100-92 to the Phoenix Suns. A very trying game, but L. Rob, I know that, again, it's still tied going back to Phoenix, so we're all even up, so it's a best of three series at this point. So we're going to go ahead and see what we can do to take command back in the series. And if that's the case, then they can win once again on the floor in Phoenix, because that obviously doesn't intimidate the Lakers being on their home floor. What do they need to do to get right and get back into better focus? I mean, we talked about it on the last time we were on, was that the focus, when the Lakers had that focus, there was no stopping them in that third quarter. When they took their foot off the gas and started playing around, you saw what happened, and that lead shrunk up on the last game. This game, you saw as soon as they came out of half, they didn't have it. They didn't have the focus, and you saw clearly that Phoenix put their pedal to the metal and really let it out. So I want to hear your thoughts on what they need to do to regain that focus and that mental edge for game five.
Yeah, I think knowing AD status, let's say he doesn't play game five, and knowing that from the beginning, they'll come out with more urgency. I thought him not being out there in the third quarter gave Phoenix a little confidence boost, gave him a little swagger when you can look out there and not see, you know, the guy that's been dominating you out there. So, you know, kudos for them taking advantage of it. But I just think the Lakers, Dennis has to realize he has an advantage. Looks like they put Booker on him for a good portion of the game today, at least in the first quarter. And they slid CP3 off the ball onto Matthews. So if that's the case, Dennis, use your quickness and be aggressive. Make him play defense. I thought Dennis was very passive today, coming out the gate, and he settled too much. So that's A. Two, if you're going to play Drummond, throw him the ball. Let him get a post up. It does two things. A, you can potentially get Ayton in foul trouble and make him play some defense. And then B, Drummond's going to score 50% of the time down there if you throw him the ball occasionally, and you'll get him more engaged in the game. So in the first quarter, you got to come out like that because you can't ride LeBron and look for him to come out and score 40. You got to get other guys to step up. If your offense is struggling, I think you got to go to THT. You know, he's more of an offensive player, and he can give you the offense and create and get to the basket. He went with McLemore today. to kind of get some scoring and hit a couple threes. But, you know, I think the trade-off, I'd rather have THT so I can break down the defense, put a little pressure on Phoenix. So just get back on defense, hustle, tighten up things. I don't agree with you. I don't think whoever wins game five. Well, I think if the Lakers win game five, they're going to win. But I don't think if Phoenix win game five that I'm going to say they're going to win the series. I think the Lakers can still go into Phoenix and win game seven, you know, if AD is there and they got a full complement of players.
And that's a big if right now, the status of AD going forward, because he only played 19 minutes today. And you could see clearly that his jump shot predicated off of his lift, and he just wasn't getting the lift today. But Magic Man, before we hit the rest of the show and the rest of the NBA playoffs, because we don't want to dredge on too much on the Lakers losing. Hey, they lost. We'll get it going once again in game five. But before we head to the NBA playoffs and cover what's there, I want to hear your thoughts on what they need to do to regain their form in game five.
Yeah, you know what, Gerald? I think Lee's on to something. I think just the offense needs a shot in the arm. If AD is not 100% or he can't go and we get KCP back, I think if you substituted some minutes for THT instead of Kyle Kuzma, that would at least provide us with a different look offensively, because Kyle's absolutely providing nothing offensively. I credit what he's doing defensively. Most of the time he's not losing his focus, his help defense is there. But offensively, he's just, I don't know, man. It's just so weird. It's weird watching him play offense at this point. He's hesitant to shoot. He's hesitant to dribble drive. He's hesitant to go up strong. It's a strange dynamic with him out there.
Yeah, it just seems like there's not the same Kyle Kuzma bravado that he had, at least in those first 2 years of the league, where he shot everything that he could see. And then now it's just like he is totally way off, and he's been almost a non-factor on the offense. Today was his biggest output at 11 points, but that's more than what he had scored in the previous three games combined, which should tell you about the futility he's had for the past series. But L. Rob, I mean, we're going to go and get back. We'll get this back when it comes back to game five, but we've got to make sure that we go ahead and have a healthy AD. But KCP, I know, was a big out for us as well. I know we've talked about his struggles, but him on the defensive end, him not being there, kind of hurt us as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's just another defender. When you figure you have him, you have Caruso, and then you have Matthews, you have three guys who can harass Booker. So you constantly got fresh bodies on him. So yeah, you miss that. And then they have to respect him a little bit more in the starting lineup, and then they have to respect Matthews. So you have to, it gets a little more spacing with KCP out there. So he definitely was missed. And he's a little bit better at going to the basket and creating. So anytime you're missing a starter, you know, it wasn't talked about as much, but anytime you're missing a starter, it's important. But they have a deep enough bench to sustain KCP being out and still being able to win. Hopefully he's back, though. Chris Paul had 9 assists and 0 turnovers. Yeah. You know, love LeBron, but how many turnovers did he have in the backcourt? When we're busting out, about 3, I think half of those were throwing lazy outlet passes or something in the backcourt where we, you know, look like we might have an advantage going down court. So if we are playing without AD, though, we really have to tighten up the screws. Him and Caruso were both careless with the ball. You got to just tighten up the screws and really come in focused. If, especially without AD, we have very little margin for error to beat this team, but we can still beat them. So
yeah, we should still beat them. I mean, we shot better from the 3-point land. I mean, that was then they did. That's something that's a rarity for us. Whenever we have it like that, we should take advantage of it. But unfortunately, we didn't.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
I know you've been hearing about Manscaped on all those other programs and podcasts. Well, Manscaped and the Hoopheads Podcast Network are working together on something fantastic. And oh my goodness, have we got a deal for you. Manscaped.com has just released their wireless, waterproof, and rechargeable Lawnmower 4.0, which offers their trademark skin-safe replaceable blades that gets you the ultra-close shave exactly where you need it. Head on over to manscaped.com and choose from the huge list of men's grooming and lifestyle products including the ultra-popular Lawnmower 4.0 Body Groomer, and get 20% off at Manscaped, plus free shipping with the promo code FASTBREAK at manscaped.com. That's right, just type in FASTBREAK, all one word at checkout, at Manscaped, and get ready to start looking good this summer from your friends at Manscaped, the Hoopheads Podcast Network, and the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.
Hey Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Again, it's a loss, 100-92 to the Phoenix Suns. The series is now tied 2-2. We're headed back to Phoenix for game 5, and we will be here Tuesday night to go ahead and cover it for you right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, and before we go ahead and make sure everybody has the rest of their weekend, I want to go ahead and get everybody caught up as best we can on the NBA playoffs, because it's been very interesting in many ways. But Magic Man, I'm going to start with you first as I bring it up here on the screen. We're going to start with the, for me, the most surprising playoff series, and that was Miami and Milwaukee. With Milwaukee, hear that sound? That was the sweep right there. That's the sweep. That's the sound of a broom sweeping by Giannis Antetokounmpo, and also as well Drew Holiday just sweeping that away, sweeping the Heat away onto the sand, onto the beach right there for you, because they flat out just killed them. 4-0. The only game that was close was game 1. I thought it was really surprising for a team that made the NBA Finals and essentially the same team outside of Kelly Olynyk. Really, when it comes to it, Kelly Olynyk was the only missing piece. Was he the Jay difference?
Jay Crowder.
No. Yeah. Were those two the difference?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Very good players in their own respect, but they weren't responsible for this. It just seems like a lot of their guys regressed, other than Bam. Bam was the one who was asked to carry more on his shoulders. At times, he struggled with that, but eventually, he picked up his game. He can shoot it from anywhere from 16 to 20 feet with confidence. That was pretty much the only thing missing out of Bam's offensive arsenal. Still's productive defensively. Prince, a rookie, couldn't expect a lot from him in the limited time he got. I thought Kendrick Nunn was actually their best offensive player, Gerald, to be perfectly frank. I thought he was a little bit more consistent than Jimmy Butler. And they have an interesting decision to make this offseason, because he is going to get a few offers, I would say. Who knows if he's going to explore free agency or not. But who knows what Miami's going to do this offseason, because it looks like that was just a mirage we saw in the bubble. The bubble mirage.
They're going to be doing a lot of second-guessing themselves on where it went all awry, or if the team that went, like you said, in the bubble to the NBA Finals was a little bit overbloated. And I think those questions are going to come about to Lakers. I mean, don't be surprised if, because of the fact of today's result, you start hearing those whispers of, oh, maybe the Lakers team was overrated going the bubble. Maybe this or that. You're going to start hearing some of that because of what happened. Rest assured, that's what you're going to hear on Monday from these Monday morning quarterbacks and the pundits and the loudmouths and all that. You're going to hear that. It's going to take a game 5 victory, in my opinion, to shut a lot of people up. And Felix is saying they all have to rise up. Yes, they all have to rise up. But AD, I think, is critical to this team as far as being able to go ahead and come back in game 5. But getting back to the Eastern Conference playoffs, I want to hear your thoughts, L. Rob, on this New York-Atlanta series. My goodness, it's been very tightly contested until today. Atlanta found some separation. It's been very ugly at times to watch. in a way, as far as the basketball is concerned, because offensively, they both have had their challenges. But today, Atlanta in the second half pulled away, and they could, with a win in New York, just really take it to the Knicks and finish them off.
Just one thought on the Heat and Milwaukee series. I think they rebounded them by 17 rebounds a game. So Miami's got to make a decision. If they're going to play small with Bam, then they darn better be able to knock down some shots at a higher clip than they did in that series. Otherwise, they just don't have the physicality to match up with those top teams in the East.
Yeah.
But getting back to Atlanta, I actually picked the Knicks in seven, so I'm on shaky ground right now. I knew Atlanta had more firepower and more weapons. I just thought that with the first time a lot of those guys been in the big stage, it may be a bit much for them. And Tibbs' defense could muck up the game and keep it close. Trae Young has been sensational. He's been, head and shoulders the best player in the series. Julius has really struggled. No one could see that coming. And they just clearly look, a much better team, a lot more options to score the ball. And the Knicks are really struggling to get anything going. Derrick Rose is pretty much, if it's up to Derrick, he's got to create and do it. That's a lot to ask of a player like Derrick Rose to kind of do everything and kind of score so much. That's a little too much for him at this stage of his career. Although he's, I give him credit, the one game he busted out and played great, but you can't expect him to kind of carry you and score 25 plus every night. That's a bit much.
That is a bit much, but right now they're headed back to New York. Hopefully the MSG crowd will boost the Knicks to have them come back, because right now it's 3-1 Atlanta, looking very confident heading into game 5 in New York. Another series that looks to be just about over, Magic Man, is Philadelphia and Washington. Joel Embiid silencing the crowd, telling people to quiet. And he's been looking very good, looking like he is very irritated. He's not going to win the MVP. I want to hear your thoughts, because this could very well be a sweep tomorrow when they play in Washington. I want to hear your thoughts on Philadelphia's chances going forward, because we've talked about how well Milwaukee has looked, and they've looked very strong. But Philadelphia, as the number one seed, looks like they're no slouch either.
No, they're not a slouch by any means, Gerald. And I bet a lot of Laker fans right now are creating that meme of a picture of Danny Green in the little picture case and pining for him to return, because he's been playing fantastic basically all year for the Sixers in the role they've asked him to. He's had a few stretches where, he's not firing on all cylinders, but he's returned to form as playoff Danny Green. I think Philly just have a combo of just excellent offense and very good to excellent defense to Washington's, times varied offense and oftentimes porous to god awful defense. It's funny. Miami does a 180. They go from the finals in the bubble to imploding in the first round. Philly does a 180. Yeah, we'll get swept in the bubble, and now we're going to decide to get a sweep in the first round. It would be to their benefit if the Knicks won Game 5, because that would extend the series and just give Philly and their vets a little bit more time to rest. So, I would say the Philly sweeps and they root for Knicks in Game 5.
Looks like they're going to be doing just that, because I think that series against Washington is all but over. I know with the injuries to Westbrook and also Bradley Beal, that's going to be tough for them to come back, especially when those are your two best players and if both are hurting. Even if they are playing, they're not like in Los Angeles. We know that's not going to be the same. It's going to be very hard for them to continue. And it could very well be a sweep this time tomorrow. But there's also a little bit more action going on tonight as we go ahead and record this in the afternoon here. Brooklyn will meet Boston. Boston with a surprising victory. We thought this series was all but over. L. Rob, your thoughts? Can Boston make this an actual series?
No. Tatum gave him a 50-piece. Be happy with your one win. And you didn't get swept. You competed. But I would be shocked if the Celtics won another game in this series. I think Brooklyn got a little wake-up call, like Harden alluded to. Maybe it's good to take an L to give them a little fire up under them, which is not a good attitude to have if your goal is to win the championship. You shouldn't need a loss to get you fired up. But clearly the Nets didn't bring it, and Boston is going to fight, you know. So give them credit, but they just don't have the firepower to keep up with the Nets. Nets will win today in Boston and come back home and close it out in Brooklyn.
Especially if Kemba Walker is hurting, as it's been also reported that Kemba Walker may be hurting, along with what we already know that Jaylen Brown is out. So, yes, that could be a very troubling situation for Boston. And Brooklyn needs to win as fast as possible because Milwaukee's already won, and they're in their bracket. So, you know, Milwaukee's already waiting for the winner of this round. So Brooklyn better go ahead and get their, well, act together as soon as possible on that. Felix said, we did fight at the end. Yeah, we did fight at the end and came back as far as the Lakers game is concerned. But we need to see a little bit more of that. And they did win the fourth quarter 27-19. They need to go ahead and make sure they don't have any lapses like they did in that third quarter. I think that's what did it, Felix. So hopefully we can see a better four-quarter effort from the Lakers on Tuesday. But before we head on out, guys, we're going to go ahead and hit the Western Conference. We'll go ahead and start off with the Clippers and Dallas. 2-1, Dallas has going into tonight's game against the Clippers. Luka is hurting. Also, seems to be the theme of the day. Hey, it's just playoffs. A lot of people getting hurt, Magic Man. But Luka is going to be shaky and questionable, but he is going to play. Is that going to affect Dallas's chances from getting a split in Dallas and going up 3-1?
You know what, Gerald? I don't think it will, in the sense that given the injury report and what we've been able to see, it doesn't look like it's going to prevent him from having an impact on the game. But I don't think the injury should preclude him from having an impact on the game. If you're Dallas, you know, it's kind of the narrative that the media has been driving home the past few days is that game three was the biggest game in the Clippers organizational history. Well, if we're moving forward here with Luka as your superstar, game four appears to be the most important in the Mavs, because if they go up 3-1, I happen to agree with a fantastic analyst, Tim Legler. He said that, look, the Clippers have the talent to win 4 out of 5 games. The problem they have is if they split in Dallas, they're now down 3-1, and you can't expect them to win 3 in a row against a Dallas team, Luka playing this fight. I mean, it's not realistic. To me, this is a really important game for Dallas, Gerald. And they came out guns a-blazing the last game, and they let up a little bit. They took their foot off the gas. They took Luka away from the play, put him on the bench, and the Clippers just managed to fight and claw scratch their way back into it, and Dallas caved in defensively in the fourth. So this is a huge game for Dallas, and probably given the Clippers your best shot. So do people really expect Dallas to win 2 out of 3 if 2 out of 3 are in LA? This is a huge game for Dallas.
It is a huge game for Dallas if they go ahead and pull out the victory. So, and we'll keep on reporting for you when we come back on Tuesday. But L. Rob, did you want to share any thoughts on this Dallas Clippers series, or did you want to head over to Utah Memphis, which now looks like Utah is taking control?
Yeah, no, I thought Ty Lue did a good job of substituting players out and giving a lot of minutes in that game, and he brought a little more energy and aggressiveness to the game, and you know, and Morris hit some shots. So give the Clippers credit. Porzingis got to play, you know. Mm-hmm. you're too talented. Clippers are switching, putting small guards on them. It's like, catch it, you're right there at the dotted line, catch it and just turn around and drill it. The game's not that complicated. So I expect Dallas to make that adjustment, but if they just guard those other guys like they did the last game and make them, you know, shoot somewhere at their average instead of letting, you know, them explode like they have been doing, then the Clippers should beat them. They have a better team. But Luka's the wild card, you know. He could go off for 40, and then, you know, Hardaway is playing great, so give him credit. But I think he didn't make a shot, a two-point shot last game. I think he was like 8 from 3-point range, but like 0 from 8 from 2-point range, which is probably one of the oddest box scores you want to see. Would love to see Dallas get an upset. You know, I felt the Clippers would still come back and win game 3, and I feel the same way got game 4. Dallas, oddly enough, has I think their winning percentage the last couple of years is just as good on the road as it is for home. So they don't play, you know, it's not like they get a boost by playing on their home court. So that's interesting.
I agree with you on Kristaps. Kristaps, in fact, somebody remarked, I think, or somehow he caught it, but our good friend Rafael Barlow on Twitter mentioned that he had heard, or somebody phrased it, that Kristaps Porzingis and Jalen Brunson are about playing the same size. So there's a 12-inch difference there, and it's not funny, and it's kind of funny all in the same way, because if that's the case, Kristaps is playing very soft, and he needs to go ahead and toughen up and play a little bit better. We need to see those, if you're a Dallas fan anyways, you need to see those 20-point, 10-rebound type games from him a little bit more effective. You're not going to get great things defensively from him, but you know he's there for a reason, and he's there as a distraction and to go ahead and be able to hit from the outside. And when he's not giving you anything like he did in the previous game, there you go. But Felix, thank you so much for dropping by. Appreciate it so much. We will see you on Tuesday. Also as well, appreciate V Garcia for stopping by as well. Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now, and I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets, and they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars. Click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Magic Man, before we head on out, we've got Utah and Memphis. Utah taking control of this series 2-1 with a definitive win in Memphis. Your thoughts on this series? Is it all but over?
You know, I think it is. Man, just got to love Ja Morant's feistiness, though. That guy he plays it to the hilt. Doesn't matter if they're down 20 or up 20, he still plays the same intensity. One thing I love about him, Gerald, is he's a willing cutter and slasher when the ball's not in his hands. Like, he moves around when he doesn't have the ball. He's a willing passer. He's a willing teammate. He just has a will to win. Unfortunately, I think Memphis is just a little too young right now, a little green behind the gills. But looking at their team, man, it's really exciting. And the future holds for them. You have Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson as your wings. You've got Ja Morant as your point guard, and you can build around that because that's a really nice core. Because what they do, I mean, they really missed Bojan Bogdanović last year in the playoffs. They really missed him. I think he might have been the difference in the Nugget series last year had he stayed healthy. I mean, we don't know, but he's made a huge difference for them. They're relying again on just their ability to move the basketball and play good team defense. So I think, you know, Utah wins game 4 and they close it out game 5 at home.
Last but not least is probably one of the best series, the most contested series, along with the Lakers and Phoenix, and that is Denver and Portland. Denver and Portland, that series is tied going back to Denver. Your thoughts on this, Elrob? Norman Powell was such a great X factor for them, played so well in yesterday's game. In fact, he took the place of Damian Lillard because Damian had an off game with only 10 points, but he came up strong with 20-plus points, played very well on both ends of the floor. Someone who, as I will mention again, I was hoping the Lakers would trade for at the trading deadline, but again, he came up big. In fact, I think he's been the X factor. As he goes, the team goes. And so, and yesterday, he went very well. And so the team goes back with its series tied at 2-2. It is Denver looking to go ahead and take command once again in the series with a fifth game in Denver. But I don't think it's as easy as that, because this series, to me, can go either which way.
Yeah, I think this one definitely is going seven. But you're right. Powell is an excellent, excellent two-way player. He brings a lot of energy. He can knock down threes. He was 4-for-4 yesterday. So, yeah, but I think Nurkic is also the key. He's been in foul trouble in a couple of the losses, and he has played limited minutes. When he can stay on the court, they're a different team. They're just a much better team, much more competitive. And, you know, he can kind of at least present some type of challenge to Joker. So I like Lillard not, you know, having to hoist 30 shots. Feed those other guys. You can score, you know, Lillard. You can get yours. But, you know, you got Powell, you got McCollum, you got Nurk. You got, you know, these guys can score. They need to take some shots. Get Nurk 15 shots. Get Powell 12 shots. You know, let McCollum do his thing. And, you know, Dame can get his, as, you know, as evidenced by yesterday. He didn't need to score, but he had maybe 10 assists, and he played a decent game, even though he couldn't make a shot. So I think that probably is the – hopefully that's the revelation for him. I know it's great to go out and score 35, but what good is that if you don't win the game? Not saying he's a selfish player. I'm just saying, I just think he needs to probably look a little less for a shot and try to get those guys going a little bit more. Yeah, and Denver just don't, you know, they don't have a whole lot of firepower. Joker played a subpar game for him. And if he doesn't play great, I mean, you know, I'm talking great, that team, you know, doesn't have any chance of really beating Portland. But he will play great, and that's why it's probably going to go seven games.
Yep, I think it's going to go seven games as well. It's heading in that direction. It has that kind of feel. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that one works out, because that's going to be very exciting. As the series switches over to Denver for game five, we will also get you updated on that on our Tuesday show after the Lakers game. But again, we will be back on Tuesday after the game, game five, hopefully after a Lakers win on game five on Tuesday. We'll see. We're pretty confident that the Lakers will get it back. Hoping the AD will get right, feel better, and get that jump shot going. And if he's going, I'm telling you what, I think it gives the Lakers every chance to win the game. But, Sean, any last thoughts before we head on out?
Absolutely, Gerald. Just wanted to give everybody a quick update. Obviously, Vogel was asked after the game the biggest question, what's AD's status? Not black and white. He was very gray about it. He wouldn't confirm whether or not he was receiving an MRI, which you would actually expect with a soft tissue injury. They're going to medically evaluate him, and the injury will be reassessed tomorrow, and the Lakers will give the world an update.
Oh, it's going to be nervous time for Lakers fans over the next 48 hours, that's for sure. L. Rob, any last thoughts before we head on out?
You know, I want to give a shout out to Gasol. He fought in there today, so he should be acknowledged for, especially in the second half. His fight at least gave the Lakers a chance in the fourth quarter to make it respectable and, you know, maybe build some momentum going into game five. So good for him. I think AD will probably, Lakers probably will be pretty cautious with him. He'll probably sit game five, and it'll be up to the Lakers to suck it up and really focus without him. It can be done. It'll be very, very tough, but they can do it without AD. I think it's, you know, it's exciting. This is playoff basketball. You never want to see anyone injured, but then you get to see the mettle of the entire team. You get to see the mettle of these other guys if AD can't go for a game or two.
At this point, Laker Tom would come to you and say, "L. Rob, I think it's about time that Gasol gets back in the starting lineup ahead of Drummond." So that's, I think, what he would be saying right now. In fact, he probably was saying it at the party, wherever he was at, probably smashing dinner plates all over the place. And, yeah. People was going freaking out because he already knew what the game was, even though he says he was going to watch it later. We all know the truth.
Well, it's hard to argue with him if, you know, when Drummond don't come out and give you anything. I mean, you know, he just was out there. So he didn't impact the game. Gasol at least impacted the game. I wouldn't argue with him. But you're going to need Drummond to give you something. And I think that's an advantage. The Lakers just haven't really taken advantage of. But if you want to sit him and play Gasol and Herrera, hey, go for it. Go for it. I just, you know, I think Andre's talent and energy, it can give you some. He still can grab some boards. I think the Lakers' defense is better with him in the game than Mark. So if you want to trade off offense for defense, maybe. Because Cam really, you know, really had his way with Gasol on those.
Cameron Payne?
Yeah, he really. So, I mean, you give up something with that. But, hey, Drummond didn't play well, so he's got to take the heat. And he's got to hear that people talk about play Gasol. That's on him. Maybe he'll be motivated to come out and bring more to the party next game. The Lakers going to need it. This is his first time playing in a pressure playoff game. We'll see how he responds.
The series has now begun, and it will begin again, game 5 on Tuesday. So please make sure you're with us right here after the game. Lakers fast break. It is the Lakers once again falling to the Phoenix Suns in game 4, 100-92. But we will be back on Tuesday night to go ahead and make sure and get you a recap of the game, making sure hopefully it will be a win for the Lakers. Once again, thank you so much to Bree Marco and also as well V Garcia for giving us a thumbs up on Facebook at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. Also as well, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. At Laker Tom on Twitter, because, you know, he probably needs the kind of help and support right now. And also, don't forget these guys right here at LakerHolics.com. And of course, the great people at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. So please go ahead and support them today, because Manscaped is now working with the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And for your best in men's hygiene, there's no better place to go than Manscaped. Bree Marco says, much love, guys. Lakers always. Much love indeed. Back to you, Bree Marco, out there. Much love to the Lakers. We will be back on Tuesday, hopefully to give more love to the Lakers. We know the Lakers are going to turn this around. Game 5, we're going to think positive again. Unlike what Laker Tom says about me with the glass half empty, I'm thinking half full this time. We're going to get this job done. Game 5, hopefully AD will be okay. And even if not, the Lakers will manage to go ahead and find their way through. And we will be here Tuesday night after the game to talk about that and recap you on the rest of the NBA playoffs. And there's no better place to go for Lakers fans than right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.